What's up, AfterBuzzers? You're not mistaking. We are doing a special for Quantico, and believe me, you won't want to miss it, so stay tuned.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
Ooh. Yes.
Woo.
Yes, I'm feeling it.
Yes.
I've never been more excited to hear this intro. This entire season.
I'm excited because we have somebody really cool joining us, so.
Well, you want to introduce him?
I do.
Okay,
guys.
Take it away.
Well, first, let's say hello to everybody joining us.
Oh, hello, everyone. My name is Candace Cruz, joined by the one and only Christine Alexis.
What is up? And we are joined tonight by somebody that you guys know and love on our Quantico show. Please help me welcome our special guest, Alan Vowell.
Better known as McQuig.
McQuig.
I'm McQuig.
We're going to get to know Alan Powell today, too. So.
Yeah, whatever you want. We could talk about McQuig. We could talk about whatever you want.
I feel like we should talk about both because he was such a nice addition to the group early on in the season.
Well, good. I'm glad you enjoyed him.
Yeah. Definitely one of our new favorites, for sure. A lot of people who, like, love Quantico, like we do, you know, we talked about, like, we're so attached to the old cast, but you were one of our favorites of, like, the new fresh faces.
Yeah, for sure. I remember, actually, we were filming the pilot in New York, not the pilot, but the first episode that I was in, which is the second episode, and I was at the hotel bar and just having a drink, and, like, I was like, hey, what are you doing here? I was like, I'm an actor, you're working on something, and Quantico came up, like, oh, we love Quantico! And they were like, now, listen, you're on the new show, tell me, like, that, you know, Alex and Ryan, like, they stay together, right?
Oh, my
God.
I'm
sitting there, kind of like, I could say yes, but I'd be lying.
Totally gave it away.
I don't know. I can't remember if I did or not, but what I remember is that, like, walking away, they were like, just tell me you're not the new guy, because we'll hate you. And I was like, okay, I won't tell you. So I walked into the show with this, like, this pressure of, like,
of course.
Well, this is what they're asking me to do, and apparently the fans really like this other thing that's happening. So I'm going to try to just forget about that and do my job. But it was weighing heavily on me, you know, the whole time. So,
well, I have to say, I think you were honestly welcomed rather than hated, because I think everybody was focusing their hate a little too much on Ryan and Shelby. So they were loving when Alex had a new love interest.
I did see that. Yeah, I did see that.
It's just awkward. No?
I'm not going to speak to that. I'm going to, like,
that's more of us.
You know, everybody gets to have their own opinion. Here's the deal. Both, you know, Jake and Johanna are fantastic actors.
They are.
There's no doubt about that. And I like the relationship. I didn't see, I hope I can say this, but I haven't seen any of the other seasons of the show. But there's a reason. It's not because I don't like the show. But my character didn't know anything about anything.
Yeah. Right.
And so I liked not knowing anything about anything, right? Yeah. So I could walk into a scene, they're talking about history, and I can go,
What?
Right? I try to get as little to be fake as possible. So if I was supposed to have known all of this stuff and have been a brother who would have said, you know, then I would have done more research, but I wasn't supposed to, so I didn't know anything that's going on. But I really liked, you know, Ryan and Shelby, and I certainly liked them as actors. And I thought, you know, I didn't know Shelby's history, and I didn't really know Ryan and Alex's history. Mm-hmm. But I liked them as a couple, and I got to sit there and watch it and watch those guys, you know, act the hell out of the scene. So it was really interesting for me to watch. I don't want to call it backlash, but I don't know what other word to use.
Like fan reaction.
The fan reaction.
Yeah.
You know, on those that first episode when that came out, or the pilot, or really just, you know, even still, people just really having a rough time with that, which is cool because it means that the creators and the actors, like, made something that people really grabbed onto. So I think it's like a backhanded compliment when people get really upset about it.
Oh, of course.
For sure. You want people to be engaged. If they're lukewarm about what you're doing, you're not really resonating.
Well, these people were not lukewarm.
Working with this group, it's such a dynamic group. Mm. And especially with it being so heavily focused on, like, there's what, six or eight? I can't count.
Jocelyn.
There's seven of us.
Seven. Thank you. Yep. Thank you. I didn't have to count.
I did it by the call sheet.
Yeah, there you go. Just do the seven. You guys have such, like, dynamic and different characters. What was that like when you guys are all together and really kind of, like, the dynamic on set for you all?
I mean, you said it. I mean, what's one of the things I really liked about the show and what we were doing and the scripts they were giving us and certainly what all the different actors were bringing to the characters was everybody kind of approached these situations in different ways, you know, and we all had our own, as actors, we had our own built-in history to why we were doing that and whatnot. But I think when everybody came together, it became kind of an interesting, how are we going to solve this thing? Okay, McQuig does this thing. you know, Harry does it this way, you know, Alex does it this way, and everybody kind of approaches these things in a different way. And that's also one of my favorite things about what they did with the Alex McQuigg thing, was that that often kind of did this, you know?
Yeah.
And the first time that we really kind of were in conflict, I can't remember which episode it was, I think we were in a van, and like we were looking at some house, and there was like a nuke inside or something like that. Forgive me for not knowing the details. Like, people watching are like giving me the details. Sorry, guys. I remember it, and then I have to forget it. But that, I remember that that scene was really these two characters coming at this same problem in two totally different ways. Mm-hmm. I remember that I was going ahead and calling it in, and she was like, "Wait, we have to wait because this kid may die." And I'm like, "Kid, this is a nuke, you know, whatever." Something. I remember that, and just kind of going, "This is why." To me, it's interesting because mm-hmm. you have these different characters coming at these situations in totally different ways. So I really enjoyed that dynamic, not to mention the people themselves, not just personally, but really professionally, certainly, mm-hmm. are just so good at what they were doing that it was fun to sit back and watch, you know, and learn and watch Marley Matlin act. I mean, are you kidding me? Like, what an opportunity. And to be doing scenes with Blair Underwood, who's been doing this for 30 years. I mean, he still mm-hmm. looks younger than I do, but he's been doing this for 30 years.
we're both thinking it.
And this, I get it. Like, I trust me, I was like sitting this close and going, it's a good looking guy right here. I'm sorry, guys, I was supposed to say a line, but so it was really fun just to work with everybody. Everybody was great.
Now, how did this actually come about for you? What was the process in order to get to Quantico, since it was already into season 3?
Yeah, it's a good old-fashioned audition. I mean, I was doing another show in Canada called The Arrangement, and I'd never really done TV before that show. I did like 2 episodes on that show, and I was in Canada, and this audition just came in from my agent, and I read the breakdown. I was like, I get this guy. Like, this, first of all, this is a really cool part on a cool show, and I really want to do this. Mm-hmm. And it's supposed to be a tape audition for any of you actors out there who are interested in this kind of stuff. I hate taped auditions. I'm terrible at them.
You're an in-the-room guy?
I'm an in-the-room guy.
Yeah.
I don't know if I've ever booked off of tape. Maybe I have, but I hate it regardless. And so anyway, it was supposed to be a taped audition that was due on like a Tuesday. And I was done with the show on Monday, and they were flying me out on Tuesday. And I said, mm-hmm. call my agent and say, can you please like see if they'll see me in person? I'll change my flight. And I was going back to Nashville. I'll go to New York and then send myself back to Nashville. And so we did that, and I came in the room and just did the audition thing. And actually, it's a relatively funny story if anybody cares. I did the audition, hated it, went downstairs, called my manager, was like, I think I'm going to go back. And he goes, go back? Like, you don't go back. And I was like, well, I'm going to go back. So I pounded a 5-hour energy because I felt I was too tired. And I'm already a pretty, well, you guys know, you're watching the show. I'm already a pretty chill actor. So if I go from chill to like kind of tired, it gets real boring. I felt like it was a tired read, and so I chugged a 5-hour energy, and I did some push-ups on the street of New York City, but it's New York City, so nobody looks twice at anybody doing anything.
Yeah, there's people like breakdancing on the block next
nobody
to you.
Cares.
So.
Yeah. So I went back upstairs and sat down the casting couch, and she came out. She was like, you're still here. And I said, yeah, I didn't feel good about that. Can we do it again? And she was like, sure. So we did it again.
That's a miracle that they let you like do that again. We
did it again, and that's the rest is history, as they say. So
that's incredible.
Yeah.
I love that.
It was a good phone call to get that we got a chance to do the show. It's such a cool part too. You know, I really enjoyed it. It was really, really fun.
I really enjoyed, especially with that first episode that you came in, which is the second episode.
The beard.
But that was one of my favorite episodes out of the entire season because you were introduced and you had a very specific point of view, and you were challenging like the actors that we already knew and loved and putting them in a position to where they had to figure you out.
Yeah.
And so I really enjoyed seeing, and especially with it being so relevant of a topic as well, which is something that we were excited about going into the season, is that we got to see someone that's been undercover and like, you've been focused on something for so, so long and you really get like ingested into something.
Right.
It was cool. The writer, executive producer of the show, who also happened to write that episode and create the McQuigg character. Mm. It was based on his cousins, whose last name actually is McQuigg. They're in Kentucky somewhere, just really excited their name
there
is on
go.
TV.
That is so cute.
No pressure or anything. But I remember he told me before we started shooting that episode, he goes, listen, as far as McQuigg is concerned, this is his show. Everybody else just happens to be on
to
it.
To be there.
You know? This isn't, you know, Alex's show in his mind. This is, you know, this is your show and everybody just is around. which was just helpful to me, I think, throughout the whole season as far as how to approach it. Because as an actor, for me, like, I want to come in and support what's already happening. And these people have, you know, there's three characters who have been there since episode one. And everybody, except for myself, I think of those, and Marley, myself and Marley, have at least been there since season two. So you, there's a tendency to kind of come in and make sure that you just kind of aren't messing with the vibe.
Right.
But they were like, no, 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 we want McQuaid to come in and act like, you know, be at the table and act like this is his table. And yeah. I think specifically in that first episode when they were doing something that was based on his experience and like the undercover stuff he'd been doing for 2 years. It was a fun place to, you know, kind of fun place to come from as an actor.
Yeah.
And I'm glad that that seemed that, that kind of came across.
It did translate, and I think it translates all the way throughout the entire season that he really does think that, like, I'm running this. I don't think you understand, but this is, like, my show. Sorry.
Yeah. You have your character brings such a strong vibe. Like, your presence is so strong. We know when McQuig is in the room. Even though he's kind of, like, a little more chill, like you said, but when he does speak up, it's something significant. Or when he gets upset because, you know, he's grieving over his sister. It's like you've had these powerful moments later as the season has progressed that I think kind of made us as fans, like, rally around your character.
Oh, that's cool. I think they wrote him really well. And, you know, they kind of set me off in a good direction. And they, you know, again, they're good at what they do, those guys. And, you know, they created kind of a slot for him in the dynamic of all the other characters.
Yeah.
And I think it was cool to be able to fill that.
Well, you executed it very well.
Well, that's very kind.
And I love the editing of it. I mean, it ultimately comes down to all of you guys, like, for one character to come across that way.
Yeah.
Because it's
not just
writer, then you, and then whoever's shooting it and who's editing it. It's just so amazing to see, like, all of the process that goes into something.
Yeah.
Because you're a producer as well, is what you were telling us earlier.
Yeah. I mean, I love every aspect of this business. So I've had the opportunity to create things from, you know, conception and execution, and I'd find myself on set when I'm not working that day, just really enjoying what's going on and learning from this director or that writer or these wonderful actors that I had the opportunity to work with. So yeah, there's so many ways that it can go wrong. So when it seems like sometimes it goes right, you know that these people are really, really talented because there's, whether it be at the writing stage or the production stage, or we're trying to say these words, or certainly in the editing stage, like, there's just so many different places where it can go off the rails. So it's really cool to see when something comes together.
Yeah. Do you feel like you identify with McQuaid at all, like, any of his tendencies,
or
any other character on the show? Like, are you more of a Ryan in real life, or are you more of a McQuaid?
No, I am McQuaid.
That's why,
you know, when they sent me the character breakdown, he was pretty well spelled out in that, you know, character breakdown. And for those who aren't actors, when you're going into audition, they say Mike McQuaid, and then they describe him in, you know, three or four sentences. So you can kind of have, like, a target to shoot for when you go to audition. And when I read it, I was like, I can do this. I mean, yes, and I mean, there's certainly, you know, differences and whatnot, but a lot of it felt very, very close
very
to
natural.
Home for me, which is fun because I like him. You know, I like him. I like how he handles situations. I like that he can be firm, but also he's probably going to be, you know, the softer side and the nicer guy. I just like him, and it was really fun to be him.
Between you and Harry, I think you guys have some of the more funny, lighter
Harry
lines.
Harry cracks me up.
I'm sure he's, like, a ball of fun on set.
Oh, Russell, like, is amazing. Like, he's first of all, he's such a fantastic actor, and I don't say that lightly.
He really is. No, we love him.
Everybody's great, and I'm not even necessarily singling out Russell, but he had some opportunities to really kind of shine, I think, this season as an actor. I think it was episode four when it was kind of him and the Russian spy, and they were trying to, you know, kill somebody. Anyway, he got to talk about his past, and I just thought, nailed it. Funny thing about Russell is, like, I saw that episode. They sent us that one really early, and they stopped sending us episodes. I'd already seen it before we were working the next day, and I watched it, and I went up to him the next day. I was like, dude, he seemed really down. Like, he was really down that day, and that's not really like Russell. And I was like, what's up, man? He's like, I saw the episode last night, and I just hated what I did. And I was like, bro, I literally came over here to tell you that I thought it was amazing.
Wow.
And it's just funny how we as actors, and really, I think, as people, are our own worst critic always. But he's just such a good actor, such a funny guy in real life. And there was a couple scenes, some that we haven't seen yet, that are coming up where, you know, we'll be cracking jokes over here, which is fine for Mike because he's kind of always, you know, in that headspace. But then Russell has come into the scene, like, with tears in his eyes. And he came in one time, and I forgot to say the lines because he was, like, so, like, there. And I was like, I'm sorry. Like, that's amazing. You're rolling, right? anyway, he's a really, really good actor and hilarious. I mean, he's every bit as funny as Harry is, if not more so. So he's a funny dude.
He's stretching in these last few episodes a lot, and like to see so many different dynamic, like twists and turns.
Again, the sister thing, like he's worried about his sister. We haven't seen that. I haven't seen that side of Harry.
It brings a new level to his character. Yeah. It's forcing him to be vulnerable because someone so close to him is missing.
Yeah, it's been cool ever since they brought the family members on.
Yeah.
A couple of episodes ago. And that was what was really cool, even on the page. It was like, we're seeing new sides. Mm. You know, we haven't seen Ryan with his dad, or at least I haven't. I heard he showed up a while ago, but we haven't seen it to that length. And, you know, we haven't seen Alex with her mom and just all these new things that it was really cool to see these new sides of these characters come out.
And those scenes were heavy. Like, the scenes with Alex and her mom, we were all just
Well, yeah, when you're with your parents, a whole new ball game, because everything changes.
Yeah.
So it's nice to see that.
Yeah.
Well, we're getting into the last two episodes of the series. It's kind of crazy that we're really at the home stretch here.
I know, and I only did 12 episodes, and, like, I was sad to let it go at the end. I can't imagine what these guys who are experienced who did 50 something episodes of this show and with these characters. So I was sad to see it end as well.
If you could continue the story of McQuigg, what would be the next step for him?
Well, I don't know how much I can say without giving away what happens at the end of the show, but I'll say this. I think he's really into Alex.
Mm.
And I think there's a connection there that he wants to explore and maybe does. What am I gonna tell you?
Well, I guess it will be. We'll leave it at that.
Maybe he does.
On that note, I do want to pick your brain a little bit more about the Alex McQuigg Ryan dynamic, because it's not as much of a love triangle as I think it's initially started out to be, or as fans perceived it to be.
Well, he's married. It makes it tough,
right? Yeah. Like he kind of blurred that line on his own too at some point. But who do you think is genuinely better for Alex, or that? Aside from your bias of playing McQuigg, do you think he's the kind of guy that Alex needs? Or is it Ryan? Or is it Andrea?
Well, honestly, I think it would be Andrea. Just because it seems like she needs to be out of this thing.
Right?
You know, I mean, the whole, like, Italy thing, it almost, like, it feels like the season should have opened there. I mean, I'm glad it didn't because I got to be on the show. If you're just looking for, like, what's best for Alex... I don't know if she would agree with this. I'm talking about the character, not Priyanka, but I feel like the thing just opens and then she just like stays over there in Italy, right? So if there's a version of this where she could go back to that, I think that's what would be best for her. But if she can, she's going to stay in this thing. I mean, it's pretty easy because Ryan's married at this point, so I guess it has to be McQuigg. But I think even a personality standpoint, from what I saw, I felt like there was more there between Alex and Mike than there could have been for Alex and Ryan, but I have to say, like, I already, like, through the camera, I feel, like, the heat. Like, people are just... Really,
right now,
like,
it's just radiating
really
from everybody.
Like, I can only imagine.
I can just feel it. I get people so upset with me, you know, like, on Twitter and stuff. I'm like, guys,
really?
I just said lines. Like, I don't write this stuff.
I didn't do anything. I'm so sorry. I just was being there.
I guess I could have tried to suck more. I don't really know.
Well, our panel, we're so here for the Alex and McQuigg.
We're on the McQuigg train.
Cool. And did it shift at a certain point for you guys?
I think after we really saw, like, I think we were so focused on the Ryan and Shelby element and that little, like, love triangle and Ryan so focused on Alex still. I think it was after the hospital is when it kind of shifted.
And that first, well, in 302,
it was,
I guess.
Episode three, almost four, I think. Yeah, whenever Ryan goes to kiss her, and then you guys, I think it was the next one, we really saw you guys develop.
Well, that was the second episode. That was the first episode that I was in.
Okay. So was it was episode when they had, they were in the underground bar.
And he was asking, like, what her perfect night is.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
And
you
guys were all dressed up. So I think that was episode four.
I think that was four, yeah.
Four. So that was when we finally.
Good memory.
Thank you. Finally, when I was like, okay, I can see this happening.
Yeah.
We kind of figured it because, you know, it's kind of foreshadowing of, like, well, this is going to happen.
Sure. I mean, they do it in the first shot. He, like, walks over
and you're totally your
exactly.
She does this, like, look, and he does this look.
Got to capture that look.
Oh, okay.
This is happening.
Yeah. The look.
How do you feel about the Owen and Jocelyn relationship, just to kind of caveat off of that?
Yeah.
I thought they were going to explore it more, you know, because they talked about it. I don't know if it was, I can't remember if it was like in the storyline or if it was just kind of like off camera conversations that we would have with showrunners or writers. Like, we talked about it kind of being a thing, and what a cool thing. Like, two fantastic actors, like, really diving into this thing. And they certainly explored it some, but I thought even at this point in the series that it would have been kind of more. But at the same time, it might have been too much and too forced, like with everything going on with Alex. And, you know, it's hard not to like that dynamic because, again, you got two actors who are so good at what they're doing that they're going to be able to sell anything. So I like it, and it's interesting to me. And I don't think they leaned too much into it, which kind of builds curiosity you know, to me. I thought it was cool how they kind of had that moment on the pressure plate there and the thing where, like, you know, they kiss for the first time. And I thought that's cool. So
it's like the writers kind of dropped us breadcrumbs of their potential relationship all season, but never quite dived right in.
Well, it's one of those things, too. I mean, you have seven characters, right? I mean, obviously, Alex is carrying the show, but you still have seven characters that you're trying to get the audience to care about.
Yeah.
And the bottom line is there's only so much time in an episode, and there's only so many scenes and so much real estate, and you don't want the audience to be like, oh, it's I can't, a, yeah, so yeah. much. You know, so it's an interesting, and I talked to the writers a lot about that, because I was really interested in it. Like, how do you keep people interested in this many characters for this long? And it really is about just real estate on the page or real estate on the screen, rather. And so it'd just be a lot, I think, to try to make big moves with everybody. And it's I think they did a good job of just doing enough to keep it interesting and moving it along.
Yeah, they really did delve into all the other characters, which I appreciated, because as much as I love Alex, like, leading the show, I think, especially in the last, like, from episode six and on, we really do see a lot more real estate for everybody.
Yeah.
What was your favorite episode to shoot?
My favorite episode to shoot? I think, I mean, I may just have the most affinity for the first one that I did because it was my first show on, you know, time on the show.
Yeah.
But as far as, like, the best show and, like, the best time, I really think these last two episodes are the best ones we made.
Okay.
So I'm excited for you guys to see them. We shot them in Ireland, which was
You did go to Ireland? Yeah. That, oh my gosh, what was that like?
Amazing. Yeah. I mean, it was super cool. Like, you know, I'm on vacation and they're paying me to do it. Like, it's, you know, it's awesome. So it was super fun. But just even creatively, I think they really put their foot in these last two episodes. And Tim Murphy, who plays Devlin, is
phenomenal.
So good.
We love him. Our panel, we're so obsessed with him.
I kid you not. So I've already done, and you guys have seen it, I've done a couple of scenes with him, like, just in that interrogation room or something. And I'm surprised they could salvage that edit, because I kid you not, like, I spent most of the time smiling at him across the table just because he was so good. Like, I would sit down and just watch him, and he'd be, like, doing lines, and I'd just be kind of smiling.
Like, are you guys getting
it? Is anybody else watching this?
It's like, how do you...
I was watching it with my wife, and there's a shot where, like, we move... The last shot, like, I move in real close, and it's, like, just on my eyes, and I think I say something like, please give me a reason to kill you.
Yeah.
And she's like, oh, that's cool, they move so close in your eyes. I was like, I guarantee you they had to do that because I was smiling. At the bottom of it. I was just so happy to be in the scene with him because he's just so, he's so good. But anyway, the point is that he really carries us through the last couple of episodes and makes it, really raises the stakes. And, you know, they say a hero is only as good as the villain is bad. And he... You know, he does his job.
He delivers. So, yeah. I want to ask you about one of your other castmates, Jocelyn. Obviously, she's on your team. Did you know ASL going into the show? And
no,
did you have to learn it to prepare for this role?
Not at all. So, again, another thing about Mike, like, he doesn't know it. There's a few characters that do, obviously, Alex and Owen. And I think, you know, Jay, the ones who've been there for a long time seem to have learned it at their training. Mm-hmm. And they say that they learned it at their training, and then Mike just kind of, like, doesn't know it, although we had the same training.
But you, like, follow along,
I follow along,
in scenes.
Yeah, but they never made me, or gave me the opportunity, I think, the better way to say it, of doing it during a scene, because she reads lips and whatever. But, as a side note, I am fascinated by it, and was constantly getting Jocelyn to teach me things, her and her interpreter. Problem with Jocelyn is she's so funny and so mischievous that she would teach me bad things and tell me that they were good things.
That's amazing. I love that.
I literally can't do them on your show.
Oh, no.
Because, oh,
well, I don't know what I can or can't do, but, you know, I she had a hat. She always had a hat that said, have a nice day on it. Or nice to meet you is what it said. I was like, hey, how do you say that in ASL? And she taught me what I thought was what she was teaching me.
What did she teach you, really?
Her interpreter was standing over there, and he let it sit there for a minute. But he knew. He was like, this guy. He goes, don't do that. Like, what? She just taught you nice to you.
Oh!
Because he knew I was going to go find somebody. Like,
hey. All like, gung-ho, and just like, yeah. Amazing.
So that's Marley. That's Marley for you. But she was, so I was trying to like pick up as much as I could because I'm fascinated by it. And it was really cool to, but she's also, I mean, she's, you know, she can read lips, so you can have a conversation with her.
Yeah. Right.
You know, that's not an issue for her.
Does she speak a lot as well? Like she does in the show?
She will. She doesn't. I think she probably speaks about the same amount that she does, you know, in the show. I think it's mostly signing. And then every once in a while, she will.
She's such an incredible actress.
Unbelievable.
And I think that there's not as many opportunities as there should be.
Well, she's breaking it down, right?
Yeah, I mean, she really is.
Like, this part, I think, was created for her. I'm pretty sure Michael did that because he worked with her on another show of his called Code Black. And then, like, created this thing for her. And she's kind of the one that is
spearheading it.
Yeah, I mean, I remember watching her on West Wing and just being blown away. Like, I love that show, and I loved her on it. And finding out I was going to get to work with her was the first thing I told her. So she's doing her thing, and I'm really proud to have kind of been breathing in that air.
Yeah, I love the not only dynamic that I said earlier, but like the mix of cultures that is on and in the group of seven.
Yeah,
which is really nice to see, and that they're not necessarily casting for color; they're just casting, and then you know what I mean. Does that make
like
sense?
The chips fall where they may.
It works out where it works out. Yeah. I think we think about that a lot, like especially when they had like Deep on there as well, and who's a great dude, by the way, and you kind of sit back, you look at the cast, and go, this is kind of all over the place, which is really cool.
I think that's your character too.
Yeah, they've done that. I think that's something they've done well though through season one and two, regardless of how the storyline has changed. The cast has always been very diverse and bringing so many different things to the team.
This is just a fair representation of humanity.
Exactly.
I mean, there's no one particular kind of person that is an FBI agent, just like there's no one particular kind of person who does fill in the blank.
Yeah.
So it was cool.
Now, did you get to do any of your own stunts or anything?
Yeah, I did all of them, I think.
That's awesome.
I don't think there was anything that, I take it back. They didn't let me drive. There's some car stuff that happens in the next two episodes. And I fought really hard because I wanted to, but they didn't let me. And it actually worked out because the brakes didn't work on the one that I was supposed to do. I remember I was standing off. The point was I was going to stand right next to the director and the producer and be like, see, I could have done that. But I was standing over there and the brakes didn't work. And he had to like pull the e-brake and do some fancy thing or whatever. I was like, all right, well, you won that one. One for you.
All right, fine. Thank you for not having me in that car. Yeah. I appreciate it. Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah. But yeah, that's so fun. I mean, I started as a dancer. So the choreography of the fights and
what kind of dancer?
Like I did like hip hop stuff.
What? You are multi-talented. Dancer. I mean, getting more into Ellen rather than McQuigg.
I love this.
Yes. Yeah. Being a dancer, musician, actor. Yeah. What do you not do?
Anything other than what you just said.
Produce. Do you write as well?
Okay, I do that.
Okay, great. Yeah. Direct?
Yeah, plans to?
I want to. Yeah, I absolutely want to, for sure. I haven't yet, but I want to. Yeah, so the choreography made sense to me. It was fun.
That's so incredible. Obviously, Quantico's ending, or it's canceled. Any other shows?
Womp, womp, womp.
I know.
I feel like we need to have a moment of silence.
Did you really need to remind me?
I'm sorry.
Oh, no.
Bad segue, but my question was...
So your show's done.
Tell me what you're going to do.
No. Well, my question rather was, what other shows that are on right now that you're personally a fan of that you could see, like, I want to be on that. Like, I'd love to be on Game of Thrones. Or I'd love to be on...
what a cool show. Yeah, that's a good
question. Any other network show right now that you're a fan of, or network or non-network?
Ones that I would want to be on versus ones that I'm a fan of. I guess I could do both. So I'm a bit, like, right now, I think the only current show that I'm a big fan of, well, I'm a big fan of Game of Thrones. You mentioned it. But it just feels like they take such long hiatuses that it's almost like you have to, like, stop being a fan and become a fan again.
Right. You gotta binge, get back in the world.
But, I mean, I love that show.
Yeah.
I just got into Better Call Saul.
Nice.
Because I'd never seen Breaking Bad, and then I watched all of that. About 6 months ago, binge watched all that, and then
one of my favorites.
So good,
so
fell in love with Saul Goodman, and obviously had the other show, and then I think I like that even better, to be honest with
you. A lot of people did.
Yeah, I think I like that even better. So I'm a big fan of that, and waiting for that to come back, which I think happens pretty soon. It'd be fun to be in scenes with I can't remember. Who's the guy who's playing the lead on that show? Anyway, Saul Goodman.
There you go.
Sorry, I don't know your name. You're fantastic. In case you happen to be watching this. Yes, I'm super into that. I mean, Game of Thrones would be awesome now that I'm thinking about it. I have to work on my accent of some kind. Because they have so many different accents on there. But
that's very true.
I know, they're one up.
They kind of wrap shooting, but they're in talks for another like series.
You're just breaking my heart all day.
Your show's canceled. Your show's canceled. Game of Thrones isn't coming back. Bye.
What's happening right now?
We're going through the list and we're going to find you work. That's what's happening.
Fantastic.
We're going through it.
Well, I definitely think, like, obviously you're going to be working again very soon because we're in a golden age of television and there's so many amazing, amazing shows.
Even like Netflix, they're pumping out shows left and right. Hulu, Amazon, like streaming.
And they're really taking liberties on that to where they can kind of stretch away from what network does. So. Right.
Yeah, it's cool. I mean, even the projects that we're looking at now and stuff that I'm reading for, it's just good stuff. It's a fun time to be in this industry that we're in. It's just really cool to be talking about these really cool projects. And, you know, not too long ago, there was only 5 networks and like 12 shows.
Yeah.
Now there's, you guys probably know, I don't know, 400 shows. I mean, there's a lot.
Oh, I'm sure. Oh my gosh, I can't even keep.
And so you know, it's at AfterBuzz, we cover them all, so.
Yes, they do. At AfterBuzz, they cover them all.
Thank you for the library. That was fantastic.
That was such a good plug.
You just work here whenever you're on hiatus. Come here. We'll take care of you.
I'm going to see that little bite. That's
great. Funny. That was amazing. Well, if you could create any role, what would the role be for yourself?
Yeah.
I've been thinking about this a lot. Like, this role doesn't exist, but I would want to be like an American version of James Bond that also sings and dances.
Ooh, make that movie, please. Or a TV show, whatever it is. I'm trying to wrap my head around that.
Like, what would that entail?
I don't know.
I'm so curious to
see. Amazing.
Because I used to say, like, get this question a lot, and I'd be like, oh, well, I want to do the American version of James Bond. That'd be awesome. And then, but at the same time, I really want to do musicals. And then I started thinking, why can't they be the same thing?
Like, yeah.
It can be the same role.
Have you done musical theater as well?
I played Curly from Oklahoma my senior year of high school, and that was my foray into acting in general, the first time I'd ever done it. But nice. I haven't done a musical yet. I did music, and then I did acting.
So you haven't put them together?
I've never put them together, and it's something I really desperately want to do.
Now, how did that happen? What came first for you? Was it music? Was it acting? Did they kind of coincide?
Music came first. Like 10 years ago, 9 years ago, I started a band. I was in the band for a while. And then I've always had an interest in acting. I mean, I'd literally be on a plane flying to play a show, reading a book on acting with like no prospects. I was just fascinated by it. Like, how do people... I watched Tom Hanks and what's the Spielberg movie he did?
The Post.
No, the one about the war. Why can't I remember? Oh, Saving Private Ryan.
There we go.
Exactly. I'm sorry, I forgot the name of that movie.
I was like, it's not Forrest Gump.
I remember watching him like go off to the side and have this moment of like crying.
Yeah.
Because he was feeling the pressure and like sitting there going, you doing that? Like, I'm feeling sad inside and I know that's fake. Like, how? You know, being really fascinated by it. So I'm like 6 years ago, they were looking for a lead in this movie, but they wanted a musician who could act as opposed to an actor who they kind of fake, you know, the music side.
Yeah.
And I went to the audition and they ended up giving me the part. And the second I kind of started that process, whether it be the first time they handed me the script or certainly the first day I showed up on set, I was like, oh, this is what I want to do.
This is it.
Wow.
And I've been fortunate enough to stay working pretty consistently since then. So
yeah,
it was amazing. But now I want to do this singing, dancing.
James
Spy.
I feel like you need to write that and just create it yourself.
I'm sure I have to because I don't think anybody is like doing that.
No, I really don't. Mind. There are some projects where you're like, oh, I've heard something like that before. Yeah, sure, you should do it. I've never
singing and dancing.
Never heard that.
I'm a big Michael fan, like big Michael Jackson fan.
Yeah, of course.
So have you guys seen The Smooth Criminal?
The video?
Video. Yes. Yeah. Right, so you know like when he walks in, he's all like dapper and he flips the coin.
Yeah.
And they do the whole video. I'm like, what's the movie
to that
about that guy? That's what I wanted to.
I love it.
Now I have a visual.
Yeah, like, now that helps. Yeah.
Like, where did he come from? Like, he's fighting bad guys. Like, he's trying to save a girl, but he's flipping coins and doing dances. And said, like, I want to see that movie about that guy.
Yeah, and it's got that Bond element too, because you know there's Bond girls and there's
romance. All these people like dressed up and stuff. There's people stealing my idea right now from you.
You better copyright
this intellectual property right now. Copyrighted right now. Intellectual property belongs to him right here.
I've always thought that. Like watching that video is so cinematic, and I always wanted to know where that guy came from, right? Because he just walks in the bar and he flips. Like, where did he just come from? And certainly, where is he going when he jumps out the window and people are trying to shoot him? Like,
that's what I think. A lot of times we miss out on as not only actors but the audience is like, where did the person? Like, what's the backstory? Yeah. What is running through these people's heads that they've like learned and then thrown away in order to inform what we're watching right now? I always find that so fascinating.
I always thought a backstory on McQuigg would be interesting too. I talked to the guy who created McQuigg. Like this, I mean, where did he come from? Like, he always had a really interesting, you know, take on him, and that really kind of informed everything about me. And it was always so interesting, the stories he was telling me about McQuigg. Oh, that's fascinating.
Like, can you tell us a story?
So, sure. He just said he came from a big family, like nine brothers, and he's one of the younger ones. Mm. So was very used to violence and taking care of himself, but it doesn't faze him either. Like, it's just kind of part of life. He's so specific. He said he used to repo cars. And he said no nonsense. Like, he's just used to people coming out with shotguns. And, like, it's just what he does. It's part of the job, blah, blah, blah. All of his brothers probably went to jail or are dead because they got involved in the bad things. And McQuigg was like, this is what I do. I'm good at it, but I'm going to do it the other way.
Right.
I always thought that was really interesting. They talked for a while about like he'd been married before. And they talked for a while about having his ex-wife show up on one of the later episodes and just kind of really throw things sideways. I mean, obviously, it never paid. There's only so much real estate, like we talked about. But I always thought that was interesting. I actually kind of found myself looking around corners every once in a while to see if she was going to show up. But just stuff like that is always interesting to me. And I always thought the story that he was telling me was, like, I would watch that. I want to see, like, how did he get here? How can you be the bottom of nine brothers and the only one that's not in jail?
Yeah, I always thought it was even interesting that you end up having a sister later on. I guess because we meet you after being undercover for so long. Yeah. I just had this, like, perception of you as, like, a loner, just being, like, on your own. I didn't think you had family.
I know. And again, that, like, the sister thing was new because we talked about him being the bottom of a bunch of brothers.
Yeah.
So when it came, I think they talked about it being a brother, but they thought the sister thing would soften it up and also, like, you know, maybe he would care more. I get it. It was interesting.
I love how you and Harry both have sisters.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think that's definitely, I agree with the softening up part, because I feel like
I liked that
big
too.
Brothers having little sisters, it's like there's no other type of relationship or defensive, like, relationship.
That primal instinct to protect your baby sis. Yeah.
And I mean, I have a younger and an older sister, so I got that aspect of it. And yeah, it was cool. We were talking earlier, like, I always liked the lighter side of McQuigg, and obviously once he loses his sister, you see this other part. Or at least I tried to show this other part where that's not light and it's not funny. And if I'm dealing with the guy who killed my sister, there's nothing light about that. Yeah. And it was cool to have something really deeply motivating to go get this, you know, guy or person. So that was fun to lean into.
Well, I felt like it was still very fluid, even though we're so used to McQuigg having, like, this lightheartedness about him. Mm-hmm. Like, when I saw the interrogation, it made total sense, because you've always had that alpha energy around you anyway, that it just kind of, like, no nonsense. This is the way it's going to be.
Yeah.
Well, cool. It means a lot that you guys pick up on these things that we try to go, okay, this is what I want to try to do. And then people watch it and goes, hey, that's what we saw, you know, and that's cool.
So it's very satisfying as an actor.
It is. Yes. Like, that's what I wanted.
Good. I'm glad that we're taking in everything.
I didn't even dare say that.
We're picking up on it all.
Yes. I feel like we're very in tune with this show now, watching every single episode and dissecting it.
I know. It's cool. I don't get to, you know, who else am I going to talk to that has literally seen everything and, you know.
Every episode. Every moment.
Plus, it's usually kind of odd to talk about your own show. But in this setting, this is what we're doing. So
this
it's
is
great.
Exactly it, right?
Yeah.
I love it. This is so much fun.
Wow, I can't believe there's only two left. Like, I'm still just not believing that this is where we are. I'm sad.
It's good. It's about to get good.
Really? Like, are we going to be satisfied with the ending?
I think so. Yeah? I mean, I think there's no doubt that it makes sense. That it's a character progression that I think makes sense for. I mean, obviously, the last show of the show is going to be Alex. So
it makes sense for like the journey that she's been on. And I think there's a number of twists and turns and exciting things that are, you know, going to happen in the next couple of episodes. But at the end of it all, I think that the diehard fans will be satisfied.
So that kind of brings up one last question for me as well, is that going into this season, you guys obviously didn't know that it was going to be canceled, obviously. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, you wouldn't do it. So my question always is the writer, like the writer's end game to always end a season as if it wasn't coming back? Mm-hmm. Or did you all have to adjust when you found out that it wasn't getting picked up?
We were done shooting.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Before we found out that it was done. Matter of fact, we didn't find out until I think the second episode aired. And I'm pretty sure we were done filming the whole season before the first episode aired, if I remember correctly. So we didn't, we didn't know. But from a writing perspective, they always kind of have to end it. I mean, unless you get a mid-season pickup and you already know your show's coming back, which is pretty rare. Right. You kind of always have to end it.
As if it's in game.
If this was the end, it could end like this. But also, if we keep going, it makes sense as well. So
you didn't have to reshoot anything prior, like after that point.
We didn't. Because they ended it in such a way that, you know, would make sense for it to be the end. But also, if we got a chance to come back, we know where we're picking up.
Gotcha.
That was something we were actually talking about a couple episodes ago, was like, how in the world
does
that happen?
Yeah.
Especially when it's like such an intense show. Mm-hmm. How do you just like end?
I don't know what you do.
It's just like end. And not overly, because one of my biggest pet peeves as a viewer is almost always ending in a nice, neat little bow. I still almost want it to end to make sense, but like still leave it to where the audience can wonder.
Well,
and like,
yeah, it's definitely not a bow.
Okay.
Yeah, it's definitely not a bow. I mean, there's some, you get to kind of like use your imagination and go, what could have happened? As a matter of fact, there's one thing that I definitely won't tell you, that it's definitely not a bow. But also at the same time, makes sense. I mean, and I think it's satisfying for what the characters have gone through and where they end up and what's next. And, I was excited to go, let's keep exploring this more. And it's one of those things, like, I felt like, okay, now I get McQuig now. Like, when we were done, I was like, can we go back? And like,
we can redo all of this.
I was just figuring this guy out.
Oh my God.
But that's just kind of, that's how it works. So.
Well, that's incredible. Well, I'm so thrilled that you got to come on.
Me too.
We were so excited because we've been such a fan of McQuig this entire season. So,
oh, you guys.
I talked to you on the phone and I was like, oh my gosh, I'm talking to McQuig. This
no,
is so...
But, you're just saying.
Well, one thing that I do love, though, is that I feel like as an actor, in order to like fulfill the character role but still have an element of you in there. So even talking to you on the phone, I still felt like I was talking to you, but it was almost as if that character was still kind of real. So,
yeah, well,
kudos to you.
Is that good or bad? I mean,
I think that's great.
Like, that's
I mean, you don't want to get trapped as McQuig, I would think.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Well, I think the reality
talk
of it
Southern
is
all
like,
the time and
a, that drawl.
Yeah.
Well, you're from the South, so it's an easy kind of place to fall back
to
into.
I struggled to come out of it, actually. I would go home after set, and my wife would be like, why are you
talking
like that? I'd be like, oh, I didn't even know.
Get the y'alls.
I learned that my Southern accent is my actual accent. Like,
really?
This is, I'm putting something on.
Yeah.
But I didn't know that until I did the show. Because, again, I would, like, do the show and then go home and still be talking like that. I almost did it right there.
Yeah.
I'm covering it. I thought I was just lost it, but no, I'm just covering it.
Isn't
all the time.
That crazy?
Yeah.
I think also when you spend enough time in LA, it kind of rubs off on you too.
Yeah.
If I get really tired, the Southern comes back, so I feel like it's the same easy thing.
Drinking
just slip right back
or
in.
Yeah, because you're tired.
Kentucky girl. The y'alls come back, and then it starts getting a little like sloppy, and then
home.
You just get this, and then it's just God, there it goes.
Dang my home. It was fun to do that again too. Well, what else? What are we done? What else are we talking about?
I mean,
what else can we dissect?
I feel like we've broken down McQuig. I'm just excited to hear where you go next.
I know. We want to keep seeing you.
I don't know. I mean, it's one of the, like, you know, I could paint it as like this high and low. The deal is like, we're actors, man. We don't know.
Yeah.
I'm unemployed. That's the deal.
So, I know you said you started in film and you're kind of in TV now. Do you want to stay in that space or go back to film?
Well, I loved it. Either? I mean, making movies... it's all the same to me, really.
Yeah.
Like I like creating, and the thing about doing TV is you get to kind of live with this. The thing about the struggle with TV is that I don't yet know everything about the character. Mm-hmm. They're telling me about it every time they send me a script. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I'm like, oh, if I'd have known that, like back then, you know, like learning he had a sister.
Of course.
Well, I mean, that kind of stuff informs what you're going to do. Mm-hmm. And that's just a small example, but right. in TV, it has to be that way. And like, you know, there's no offense. Like, that's just the way TV is.
Exactly.
So that part's a little tough, but at the same time, you get to live with a character and develop him like slower, right? So I had 12 episodes of hour-long TV, which, if you map it out, it's like 6 movies to kind of like let this guy do a thing. Yes. Versus in a movie, I've got to do it in 90 minutes. So everything typically moves faster. But at the same time with a movie, I know how it begins and I know how it ends. Mm-hmm. So I can be more specific for the audience of like kind of building that arc with TV. It's a little more difficult, but it's cool because you get to know the people and it's like a family. Show up to work again. It's, mm-hmm. you know, you've been here for 6 months, which is fun. It's like you guys here.
I feel like that's like, I love that element of like being in a family and like everybody knowing everybody. And it's like,
I'm sure so that makes the experience that much better when you love your castmates and it's like natural energy all around.
And we did. And I loved everybody. But it also, I mean, it could go sideways too, right? Like, what if you hate someone? Then
it's awkward.
I mean, I've heard some of those stories too. And you're like, I would have never known it. And that's when, I mean, whew.
Yeah.
Right? For you to.
I did not experience that on this show. And he'd be very clear. Everybody was great. But that would be tough for sure.
Right.
Well, I really enjoyed talking to you earlier a little bit about the actual struggle of acting, because I think that everybody thinks that it's like once you've made it, you've made it. But it's still like you've met amazing people in the audition room still that people are still auditioning.
Oh, man. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Like this is a tough gig. Mm-hmm. I mean, not to discourage anybody who may be watching and wanting to do it. I would imagine a lot of your fans of TV probably are drawn to it. Mm-hmm. So you do what you got to do. But when I got that first job, I never acted before. I went to Barnes & Noble and literally went to the person and said, I'm about to act. I've never acted. Do you have books on acting? And they were like, yeah, it's somewhere over there. So I went over to the section. And
a very small section,
got,
right?
Yeah. I got the first book I saw, and it was Michael Caine's book called Acting in Film, which to this day is still my favorite book. And I've read a ton now, but still my favorite book on acting. I read it once before every job.
Wow.
And I think one of the first things he says, not I think, one of the first things he says in that book is, you want to be an actor, great. But if you can do anything else, do that.
Yep.
And that's just testament to, I mean, that's a very successful actor saying, this is really hard. And it's not just from an acting ability. It's just, if you feel like, oh, I could do something else, then you should do something else. Because it kind of has to be, this is what I have to do.
Yeah.
You know, I remember hearing Dustin Hoffman say in an interview, like, if they weren't paying me a bunch of money to do this, I'd be doing it in a local theater for $50 a week. Like, I have to do this. Yeah. And it's just a tough gig, you know? And it's one of those gigs that, like, if I can't do it, well, there's 50 other guys that would love to do it. So it's very competitive and difficult. And I don't mind talking about that side of it. Like, I don't really understand. I got really lucky and was privileged to be able to play McQuigg. Mm-hmm. Now I'll feel really lucky and privileged to play whatever the next thing is.
Right.
But I still have to go find it, you know, and earn it. And it's tough.
It's definitely, I think, an underappreciated actual profession. Mm-hmm. I think everybody sees this glamour of it. And then when you're actually trying to perform and to be an actor, these people are ripping themselves open and being extremely vulnerable and putting themselves in scenarios that are super heightened and going in and out and doing it every single day. You're basically unemployed as soon as one job ends. Like, it's not an easy profession by any means. So kudos to anybody that does get that opportunity and utilizes it and really like gets everything out of it as they can, because you never know when that next one.
We do it because we love it. We can't see ourselves doing anything else, and are privileged every time that somebody gives us an opportunity to do it.
Well, we loved watching your opportunity to do it. You're
so kind.
You embodied it, and you really did get everything that you were trying to get across, has come across, so good job.
People still hate me, though.
Perfect. But that means you did an even better job.
I guess so.
People hate you. It's fine. You always got to be hated, right?
I hope you guys like the way that it wraps up.
Oh, we'll hit you up and let you know how
please, well, I'm going to hit you
I
up.
Will Done. Come after you if it's not satisfying.
Well, I'm
just kidding.
Totally kidding.
No, I'm kidding. I get it.
He's
I mean,
going
you can
to hiding now.
For,
right?
You can blame me for McQuigg's portrayal, but I can't help you with much more
past
I'm
that.
Only teasing. Oh my God.
Amazing. Well, thank you so much for joining us.
Glad to be here.
Loved having you in, and best of luck. We can't wait to watch you on whatever next comes
along. Thank you. It's going to be a spy who sings and dances.
Yes, done. Easy. Well, where can everybody find you?
I'm on Instagram and Twitter and the thing. So Alan Powell and then the number 10, Alan Powell 10. Fantastic. At all those things. Yeah.
Well, thank you guys so much for joining us. Make sure to tune in on Sunday because we're going to be watching episode one of the 2-episode season finale Sunday at 7.
7 o'clock.
7 o'clock. Again, my name is Candace Cruz. Thank you so much for joining us. You can find me on all my social media at Candace R. Cruz.
And I'm your girl, Christine Alexis. You can find me all over social media at Christine Bean. And we will see you guys on Sunday.
Alrighty. Bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.